Greetings, everyone. Just want to say thank you for being here today. And all those who are online, I want to say thank you for being with us. Praise God. All those who would make it today, wonderful to see you. And why don't we just go ahead and just give this whole thing over to the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now today, giving us the strength and a purpose for living. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace, your truth, the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereign hand, able to protect, lead, guide, and direct. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're able to do in our lives today. You're able to turn a heart of stone into the heart of flesh. Lord God, you're able to keep us in a day when everything seems to be going wrong and haywire and chaotic. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereign hand in our lives, your protection, Lord God, the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for your leading us today. And we pray that the Holy Ghost would be here today now. Oh, Lord God, we invite you here today, that your presence would be here as we praise and worship your holy name. We thank you again. Let every devil be bound and rebuked. Let every devil that come in here or tries to come in, Lord God, to disrupt, be bound and rebuked in Jesus' name under the blood. But I pray, Lord, that your spirit would have free reign today, unhindered, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Okay. Praise God. In preference, I just want to go to Ezekiel real quickly, and I just want to read a verse or two there. Ezekiel chapter 18, I just want to go there quickly and just read a verse or two. And it says in Ezekiel 18, 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of his father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of his son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." You see, the blame game is over. People need to stop blaming their past on what they're doing today and get right with God. Amen? Start taking responsibility for your own lives. Start owning up. Start squaring up with God. Look in the mirror and look at yourselves. We all must do that. Amen? The blame game is a childish thing. It's got to go. If anyone hopes to have anything in this life worth having and hanging on to spiritually, you've got to get rid of that garbage, that baggage that keeps you down and chains you. That's got to go. It's time to let go and let God have his way in your life. Amen? Amen. How do you do that? You surrender. In other words, it's time to get born again. Surrender your life to Jesus. If you hadn't come to that place in your life where you're not willing to surrender yourself, then you're truly not converted. And it's time to change. Why don't we sing that song, "I Surrender All"? Number 324 in the chorus, or in the hymn book, rather. in the hymn book, 324. To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His service daily. Live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender to Jesus, I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. Surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender now. I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender. surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God in heaven. Glory to your name. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's okay to praise the Lord. It's okay to worship Him. But wonder why people can't praise and worship the Lord, and they can't raise their hands, can't sing. And I often wonder they even have a relationship with the Lord. You know, does it make you wonder that? You know, there's a story of a man, his name was Joseph Jody Hogan. He was a missionary in Mexico. And as he was walking the streets, he had noticed that there were some kids surrounding another kid. He was dying. He fell into the river. And they couldn't reach him. As he was floating down the river, he took off his shoes and he dove into the river to try to rescue this dying boy. And it turns out that in this swirling river for about a half hour to 45 minutes, he finally was untangling himself from some weed and some vine that was in the river. He got caught up in that. And as he was freeing himself from that, he bumped into this body he brought that body up and onto the shore. And the Lord said, pray for him. I'll bring him back to life. And he was afraid. He was afraid what others might think if it didn't happen. He turned and he walked away. The boy never was prayed for. He was a 14-year-old who never knew the Lord. Okay? A few months later, he understood that he made a terrible mistake. So one day he was walking through a village, handing out tracts to people. And there's this young kid who says, My brother, he's sick, he needs prayer. And he says, I'll get to that after I'm done handing tracts out. So he finishes what he was doing in the street. He neglected to go and pray for this young man who needed help right then. And by the time he was finished, this young man found him in the street again, and he says, "My brother is dead, and now you need to do something about it." So this missionary, shaking in his boots, walks to that house, and they walk inside, and there is a couple of warlocks, there is a couple of spiritualists, and there's a couple of witches. They were all chanting curses over that house. This is in Mexico, the true story. And he looked and he said, "Lord, I know that you can do anything." And he began to pray for that young man. Nothing happened for a while. About a half hour into that prayer, he began to be diligent and pray. Pretty soon he saw a heartbeat. He saw a heartbeat from his shirt. And he was excited. And pretty soon this young boy, his color began to come back to him. He began to breathe. He opened his eye. His mom was on the outside of his house weeping, sorrowing for this young boy who had died. And finally, he came back to life.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
He picked him up and brought this young man to his mother. That's called trusting God and walking in obedience. How many times do we miss the boat when we neglect to obey God? If we would step out in faith and believe God for miracles and believe God for answers to prayer, things can happen in your life. People need to wake up, don't they? It's time to wake up. This dead nominal Christianity is going to send people to hell.
Amen.
And people are going to be unprepared. So we need the Lord. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. But we need to trust in Him and believe God to do a miracle in your life today.
Amen.
Not tomorrow, next week, or next year. Because that never comes. Believing comes today. Amen. Let's go to that song, number 57, in the hymn book. In the hymn book, Trust and Obey. I believe this is a word for today that we need to hear and take heed. If we're to see the Lord move in our lives today, it's time to get right with God today.
Amen.
It's time.
Amen.
Because there's very little time left. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds in our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickens quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, only will we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. And trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says he will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God in heaven.
Your promises are true, dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You remember that time in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when I-35 bridge collapsed just a few years ago? Well, on that bridge, there was a busload of 50 children who went down with a big slab of concrete down as a train was passing underneath, and you had the Mississippi River right there. And somehow, by miracle, all 50 children survived. And as this young man was driving down the road, he was praying. He was on his way to go pick up a friend of his. They were going to go to a prayer meeting. And as he was praying, the Lord spoke to him and says, "I want you to stop." And he says, "Lord, there's 100 cars behind me. What am I going to do? But the Lord said, "Stop immediately." He obeyed. He stopped his car in the middle of traffic, but just 100 feet up, the bridge collapsed. Just 100 feet ahead of him. Cars were honking the horn and were getting irritant with this guy. as he began to stop when they passed around him and went over the bridge. How we need to hear from God. Are we in that place of prayer constantly when we're hearing from the Lord? Are we in that place of prayer? You don't know when your day is up. You don't know when your time is up. But God does. He knows everything. We don't know anything. Not a one of us here knows anything at all. We need Jesus to lead, guide, and direct. If we're not shut up in that place of prayer, we're missing the boat completely. We're missing it. We need the Lord.
We need the Lord. Amen.
Nobody here is exempt. Everyone here needs to repent and get right with God. Everyone here. Me included. How is that? All those who are online, you need to hear this. The Lord sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary. And yet how many people neglect and forsake the assembling of themselves together as a manner of some do. You see the day approaching. We live in a wicked time. We live in a time where the cares of this world have overtaken most people. They don't esteem the things of God. They don't esteem anything that the Lord might be doing. They don't esteem reading the Word of God, praying to God, worshiping God. Well, what are we going to do in the end thereof? When we're in a situation where our backs are against the wall, then are we going to cry out? Will the Lord then hear? In his mercy, most often he does. But for those that neglect Christ, how do you know what you're going to have to go through before you reach God? How do you know you'll even make it? Are you putting Christ first? This world has had it. This world is about to end. You know, I was walking around last night praying. I didn't intend to say this today. I didn't want to. But I will now. I was witnessing in some bars last night. I went to some bars talking to people about the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to go in those stinky, filthy places. But I felt compelled to go in and start warning people. And just as I walked into this one bar this on Madison Street down there, I walked into the bar. And I saw this man and a woman. They were and another guy here. They had these shot glasses of liquor. They were just about to toast, and I caught them right at that moment. I said, "Before you toast to yourself, I said, consider that Jesus is coming soon, and this whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. And are you ready?" And that one guy said to me, he said, in that spiteful tone, he said, "Well, I'm going to toast and I'm still going to make it to heaven." Really? Another guy in another bar, I walked down the road and went into another bar. I said, "Look," he happened to be talking to another woman here, sitting down, and the other guy was, this guy was standing up drinking his beer, you know. And I told them about the Lord coming back soon, and they need to get ready. And the guy half drunk. Amen, brother. Shook my hand. I'm ready. Really? Now that's the way the world thinks. They're drunk in this world. They're drunk on the world. They're drunk in sin.
Amen.
And they don't even know it. And they're going to hell. They think they're saved. So it is with Christians. They think they're saved. So-called Christian, not nominal Christianity, walking around thinking they're saved. And all the while neglecting the Word of God, neglecting prayer, neglecting fellowship, neglecting forgiveness, neglecting all these things that they want nothing to do with because they want to hang on to their little pity party. Amen? So, we need to repent. This world needs to repent. Time to get up off the couch. Turn the stupid TV off, that one-eyed demon. That one-eyed devil. Turn the stupid thing off and listen to God. Amen?
Amen.
Learn to listen to God and not what the world is trying to tell you. If I'm shaking a few feathers today, well, praise God. Why don't we go to that song 125 in the chorus book, Shut In With God. We need to hear from God today. Amen. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Praise Your name. Glory to God. Praise Your holy name, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God in heaven. Praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to Your name, Lord God. Praise Your holy name, Lord God. Praise God in heaven. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Thank You, Lord God in heaven. Glory to Your name. Praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Well, praise God in heaven. I could probably go on, but I know I need to be mindful of Sam coming up here today. He'll be preaching, and want to give that over now, and it's time to take up our tithes and offerings, and anybody who might happen to have a prayer request or anything they want to share, please feel free to raise your hand. Amen. Okay.
Good seeing everybody. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. We pray, O God, that you would continue to bless the tithes, gifts, and offerings. Help us, O Lord, to continue to be good stewards according to your perfect will. Under the blood, in Jesus' name, we pray in one agreement, one accord. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Jesus.
Well, it is so good to be here this morning. It's so good to see all of you here. Before we get started today, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this holy word that thou hast given us, these scriptures, O God, this gift that thou hast bestowed upon us, thy people. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would flow today and wash over each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask, O God, that thy word would have an impact on our lives and that we would take these words to heart. We ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but it's getting rough out there these days. You know, a few years ago we had that great recession, and they said it ended in 2009, but the economy's still bad, and it's kind of interesting. I read this article the other day, and what the article said was that people are in such rough shape financially these days that it's getting to a point where they can no longer afford to shop at Walmart because it's too expensive. So now they've moved on to the dollar stores instead, which is just kind of shows where we're at. Of course, the middle class in the United States has been disappearing, and that is being sped up now by the oncoming Obamacare. You know, it's kind of interesting. Their website, healthcare.gov. I remember when it was first introduced back in October, I went on there to try to see if I could, you know, find out what they would charge me for health insurance if I would sign up. And of course, the website didn't work, and it didn't work for pretty much everyone. And the website was just so faulty that everybody was complaining. Nobody could sign up. And, well, they finally kind of got it working. Went on here the other day to see what was going on, and thought I'd check. Apparently now you can actually check to see how much they would charge you for health care before you fill out an application, which is a nice feature. So I did that, and turns out that the Obama administration is offering my wife and I a generous $78 subsidy for health insurance. And other than that, you know, if I want to buy health insurance, I have to come up with an extra $4,000 to $6,000 a year to pay for it. And if I don't do that, then I'm subject to a fine by the IRS. So this this Obamacare is something that a lot of people are going to have to overcome. And people are finding out that it's not so great after all. In fact, I saw an article yesterday. It was kind of interesting. I don't know if any of you know who Michael Moore is, the filmmaker. He's a very liberal man. He's actually a socialist. And he wrote this opinion piece for the New York Times where he said, "Obamacare is terrible." He came right out and said this. But then he also went on to say that Obamacare is also like godsend because it's going to lead to a pure socialist medical system in the United States eventually, because people are going to get so fed up with how awful the Obamacare program is that they'll be clamoring for a more socialist system. But my point in talking about this is just to mention that there are many things in these trying times that we have to overcome. And I'm going to call the message today, Be of Good Cheer, because we're going to look at how we can overcome obstacles in this day and age and how Christians have always overcome obstacles. What I'd like to do to begin with is open to the book of John, chapter 15. Now, the 15th chapter of John is part of a segment in the book of John, which is generally known as the Farewell Discourse. In this, Jesus is addressing his disciples. It occurred right after they had their Last Supper. And originally, I had planned to only do chapter 16, but I like chapter 15 so much, I thought we'd do that one too. And keep me in prayer if you would. I didn't sleep real well last night, so I'm a little on the tired side, but I'm trusting God to get us through this. John chapter 15, verse 1 tells us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So Jesus here is telling us that he is the true vine. And of course, we, being God's people, are branches on that vine. But if we're a branch that's not bringing forth good fruit, that branch will be pruned and trimmed, as we'll see reading on. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You know, if we're not connected to that true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're just a dead branch. It is through Jesus Christ we have life. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And that is so true. We can do absolutely nothing without the Lord's help. You know, these days people are so proud of their accomplishments. And, you know, I did this and I did that. And they have award ceremonies to slap each other on the back and congratulate each other over their accomplishments. But, you know, we shouldn't be proud of anything we've done. If we do anything well, it is only through the grace of God. It's only through his help. That's something we need to be mindful of. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know what happens to dead branches? They're burned in the fire. And of course, there, that is actually a reference to hell. It's going to be an unpleasant future for all the dead branches out there. But if we abide in the Lord, as it tells us in verse 7, we won't have to worry about that. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, if you ask something and it's in the will of God, and you're not asking amiss, God has promised that he will grant your requests. But, you know, if you're asking for frivolous things, you probably won't get it. That's not how God operates. We need to make sure we are in his will. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, a lot of people out there say they love Jesus. They say they love God. They'll put bumper stickers on their car. But if you really love God, you will keep his commandments. That's how you show your love for God. You know, anybody can say they love God, but what do your actions indicate? Are you obeying his commandments? Are you following his will? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So we see here that Jesus wants us to not only have joy, but he wants our joy to be full. He wants our joy to be overflowing. And there is great joy when you obey the commandments of the Lord. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And of course, we all know that we are to love one another. There shouldn't be any fighting or bickering in the church. We should all get along and everything should flow properly, and that's what we're striving for here in this church. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we know that Jesus laid down his life for us, but what's really amazing about this, when you stop and think about it, he uses the word friends. He's calling us his friends. What an honor and a privilege to be called the friend of God. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you want to be a friend to God, if you want God to be your friend, you need to obey his commandments. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And of course, we know that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And of course, that's an important verse. A lot of people think they've chosen the Lord, but according to this verse, verse 16, it tells us, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It's not our choice. It's the Lord's choice. Many are called, but few are chosen. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And of course, we know that we're supposed to love one another. And Jesus even instructed us in the Sermon on the Mount to love our enemies. So, of course, we're supposed to love everyone. But these days, if you speak the truth to people, they accuse you of being hateful. They think the truth is hateful. But really, you know, if people are living in a situation they shouldn't be in, and you tell them the truth, if you do it out of love and not to try to make yourself look good, then that actually is a loving thing to do. But the world interprets that as hate, and of course, it's a very common thing as far as the homosexual movement these days. If you dare to tell any of them that homosexuality is wrong, they tell you you're full of hate. But, you know, it's kind of interesting when you stop and think about it. If we really hated them, we wouldn't say a word, because we know that their end is destruction if they don't repent and change their ways. Can't help but think of Jonah. When he was called to preach to Nineveh, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to preach to the Ninevites because he was afraid they would repent. He actually hated the Ninevites. So he didn't want them to have that hope. We all know that story. And I did a message on that a while back too. But if you obey God's commandments, the world's not going to like you very much. And that's made very clear here, starting in verse 18 of the 15th chapter of John. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I hope you don't feel too comfortable in this world. As the people of God, we're not really going to fit in with the rest of the world. We're going to seem odd. We're going to be a peculiar people. And a lot of people in the world aren't going to like that very much. They're going to hate what you, they're going to hate you for what you believe, but generally the things that they get most upset with you over are not things that you do, but the things you refuse to go along with, as my dad used to say. But the world tends to have hatred for God's people, especially in this day and age, and that's something that's intensifying greatly. Of course, we know that there's persecution all over the world. In fact, Christians are the most persecuted people of any group out there. It hasn't been too horrible bad yet in the United States, but in various parts around the world, you know, Christians are thrown in prison and they're killed, and it's a daily occurrence. And many of those Islamic countries and North Korea, and they're greatly persecuted in China as well. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You know, that only makes sense if they persecuted Jesus. Of course, they will persecute the followers of Jesus. But, you know, it's actually a great honor to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they had no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And of course we know that in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So of course, if you hate Jesus, you hate his Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Of course, there's no good reason to hate Jesus, yet so many people do it. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Of course, we know that Comforter is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. And here it is also called the Spirit of truth. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's continue on in chapter 16 now. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And as I've said on other occasions, sometimes being kicked out of a religious institution is the best thing that can happen to you. And of course, there are people who think that by killing Christians they're doing God's service. Back in this day and age, they were greatly persecuted by the Pharisees and so forth. And if you recall, the Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted the church. But God was able to call him out. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And the Apostle Paul went on to write over half of the New Testament. It's quite an amazing thing. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? So Jesus is announcing that he would be leaving them soon. Of course, we know that he was shortly to go to the cross. He would be crucified, where he bled and died so that we might be saved. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And of course, we know that even in our sorrow, he can send that Comforter, that Spirit of God. And your sorrow will be turned to joy. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Sometimes you can only bear so much, but that Spirit of truth, that Comforter, it would reveal many things to them in the days to come, and that same Spirit still reveals God's truth to us. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. And we'll see here now that there's great joy for God's people. We just dare to reach out and grasp it. If we dare to reach out and embrace the Spirit of God, there is great joy readily available to each and every one of us. Even in this world where there's so much sin and wickedness and bad things happening all the time, we can be filled with the joy of the Lord. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And you know, it won't be much longer before we do see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in glory. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. So they were hopefully admitting there that they didn't quite understand what he was trying to tell them. But they would grasp that in a minute here, in just a moment. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. You know, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, the devil thought he was winning for a brief moment. But then he started to realize that what Jesus was doing there, he was defeating the enemy. There were things happening that couldn't be seen on earth. Spiritual battles were being fought. And the devil was being put to flight. He was being overcome. But for a little while, the world rejoiced. And of course, we know that the disciples were in mourning. But when they went to that grave and Jesus was no longer there, the stone was rolled away. Can you just imagine their joy? Their sorrow was turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born into the world. Now, being a man, I'll never give birth to a child, obviously. But I imagine it's one of the most painful things that a human being can endure. Yet, for a loving mother, when that baby is finally born, she sees that child for the first time, all of that pain is soon forgotten. And of course, we know that that is the natural affection that is bestowed upon women. And sadly, that's one of the things that is sorely lacking in this world today, that natural affection that women are supposed to have for their children. You know, you read about it far too often, news stories where a woman gives birth and then discards her baby in the trash, and reading things like that, it makes you sick. And of course, the head of Planned Parenthood recently came out the other day and said that what women really need for Valentine's Day is not chocolate and flowers, they need abortions. So, kind of shows where we're at in these last days. But there's good news in all of this. All of the sorrow that we have endured and will endure will be turned to joy. It is the Lord's will that our joy be full. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, we tend to live far below our privileges as Christians. If we would just ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubt, if we just ask in faith, God is there. He is there to perform his will, and if you ask, if you petition him within the will of God, he will give you what you ask for. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. But I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to my Father. And of course, we know that he ascended into heaven. But his Spirit is here with us, and his Spirit dwells inside each and every one of us if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? So we see in this moment, his disciples are professing their faith. But we know that it would be a short time later that they would scatter. Thankfully, they were gathered again. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And you know, sometimes it may seem like we're alone, but we're never alone. God is with us each and every moment of our lives if we have that Holy Ghost. If we have that Spirit of God dwelling in us. Jesus promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a promise we can hold on to. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. You know, if you abide in Jesus Christ, you can have peace. It's a storm out there. It's rough out there. It's getting worse. But if you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, if your hope and your trust is in him, you can have peace.
Yes.
A peace that passes all understanding. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There will be tribulation, there will be obstacles, there will be trouble in this world. But Jesus has overcome the world. And through the Lord Jesus, we can overcome the world. What I'd like to do now is go to the book of Romans chapter 12. And we'll look at just how we can overcome the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, we're going to read about some of the things that are expected of us as Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable about that. Give your life to God. Present yourself a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable thing to do. And in verse 2, it tells us, it instructs us. This verse actually tells the people of God that they are to be nonconformists in this world.
Right.
Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we shouldn't be high-minded. We shouldn't walk around feeling proud of ourselves, holier than everyone else, better than everyone else. No, that's not how we're to behave as Christians. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Of course, we're all a part of the body of Christ. We're those lively stones that make up the temple of God. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. You know, God gives us all unique abilities, and there's all things we can do for the kingdom. And I have to admit, being up here preaching when I was younger, this was definitely something I never wanted to do. I know I watched my dad and I saw how hard he had to work and it was exhausting for him. And I remember when I was just a little guy and my dad baptized me right over there, in fact. I remember after I was baptized, I went down and was greeted by everyone, and my Sunday school teacher was standing there and she said to me, Brother Samuel, are you going to be a preacher like your dad when you grow up? And of course, I told her, no, no way. I think the Lord probably had a chuckle over that. He obviously had different plans for me. And, you know, after my dad went on to his reward in 2010, it was at that time when the Lord really started to deal with me. You know, he would move upon me, his spirit would move upon me, and he would give me entire sermons to preach. And, you know, I'd tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be a preacher. And he would just keep giving me those sermons. They'd keep coming, and eventually it got to a point where I just had to start getting those out because they were building up inside of me. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure building up inside of you if you're not getting those out. And that's why I do what I do. And, of course, it's something I have to overcome a lot of my own inhibitions to do this. And I admit I'm somewhat of an introvert, and that was especially true when I was a teenager. You know, I had a lot of social anxiety, so the thought of actually getting up here and preaching was terrifying to me. It's still terrifying, but I do it because I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. But we all have things we can do for the Lord. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we all need to be open to his will and listen to his voice and obey his commandments and do what he tells us to do. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Amen.
You know, it tells us here to abhor that which is evil. And abhor is a very strong word. You know, we should have a deep distaste, a despising for that which is evil. We need to cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And you know, if there's a brother or sister in Christ who needs help in some way, and if it's in our power to help that person, we should always be ready and willing to help any way we can. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And of course, in that verse, he's echoing Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And that's something a Christian should never be, conceited. And yet there are a lot of conceited Christians out there these days, professing Christians anyway. They think they know it all. I'm the first to admit that I don't know a whole lot, but I do what I can. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, we should strive to live peaceful lives as much as we possibly can. It's not always possible in this world where there's so much turmoil, but if we can, we need to live peaceful lives. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, if someone's wronged you, don't dwell on it. Just give it up to God and let God handle it.
Amen.
One or two things will happen. Either that person will repent and be saved, and that's a wonderful thing, or if not, then they will suffer the vengeance of the Almighty. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, if you have an enemy and that person treats you horribly for whatever reason, and you're just kind in return, you know, you give him food if he's hungry, give him water to drink if he's thirsty, it's going to drive that person absolutely nuts. But that's good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So if you do the things found in this chapter, that is how we are enabled to overcome evil through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can overcome evil. And you know, either we're going to overcome evil through Jesus Christ or evil is going to overcome us. And none of us want that to happen.
Amen.
What I'd like to do now, I'm getting ready to close fairly soon here, I'd like to go to the book of Revelation. Chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, going down to verse 20, tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with him, and he with me. So we see here that the Lord Jesus is extending an invitation to each and every one of us. He's standing at the door. He's knocking. If you just hear his voice, if you open that door, he will come in unto you. If you open your heart to him, he will dwell within you. His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will dwell inside of you. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Just as Jesus overcame the world, we too can overcome the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And what I'd like to do now, let's go to another chapter in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. And of course, we know that Revelation 21 is one of the most beautiful portions of Scripture in the entire Bible. It's right near the end of the Bible as well, but I know this chapter holds a special place in my heart. Actually, every time I read it, I can't help but hear it read in the voice of my dad, because he preached that message several years back, There Was No More Sea, and he read from this chapter, and I think it was one of his finest sermons ever preached. So, yeah, this chapter always reminds me of him, and it is a beautiful chapter. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And of course, we know that that sea is that divider between where we are here in this present world and eternity in heaven. There is a sea that divides us from those who have gone on before us, but that sea will soon be gone, and we'll get to enjoy everlasting life. I can't wait to get there. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, when we get to that heavenly Jerusalem, there will be no more tears, there will be no more death, there will be no more sorrow, no more crying. The former things will be passed away, and all the bad things that happened to you in this world, you're not going to remember any of it. That's all going to be gone. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And of course, we know that the Bible is written in the masculine gender. That applies to women as well. We will all be the sons and daughters of God. We can overcome this world. You know, it's not easy sometimes, the things we have to go through. It's not easy, but in the end, it'll be worth it all. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thankfully, if we overcome the world through the Lord Jesus Christ, that second death won't touch us. We don't need to fear that if we're abiding in the will of God. So, let us be mindful of the words of Jesus, who told us, Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And through him, we too can overcome the world. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy overcoming power. We thank thee, O God, for the gift of thy salvation, for the strength that thou hast given us, for the will to overcome this world and all the evil therein. We ask, O God, that we would be mindful of thee in all that we do, that we would put thee first in our lives. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would dwell within us and that we would never lose sight of our goal to be with you in all of eternity. We ask, O God, that these words would stay with us, that they would not leave us, but that they would sink down deeply into our hearts. We ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. We'll sing a chorus in closing. You all probably know this one by now, number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.
Thank you. No! I just said you bought it!
Two, or all that one. And then Thursday's Yeah.